Now, for those of you who live under a rock, Graham Hancock's Ancient Apocalypse Season 2's dropped. That's his Netflix documentary series on the Lost Civilization. And of course, with this comes the archaeologists and their associated friends that want to come in and debunk Hancock, and, well, that's just fine and good as long as they, you know, do their proper arguments, but usually, quite frequently anyway, these guys come in and they do these half-baked things, they just kind of misrepresent Graham's position, don't bother researching Graham's position enough to actually look into it, give him the worst possible benefit of the doubt, it's twist words, sometimes flat-out obfuscate facts, or even get openly dishonest. Now, a lot of YouTubers have created very successful channels farming Graham for engagement. Graham's referred to these people as leeches, and you can see why. They are very much, the success of their channel is completely and directly associated with the success of Graham. And these guys, they're the ones that are just, like, quite frequently just half-baked. Those are the ones that are the least researched, might be the wrong way of putting it. They're less concerned with being accurate than they are concerned with making a good impression on their audience. And so the facts end up taking the back seat to the narrative that they want to forge. Quite often, this involves Graham being associated with some pretty horrible ideas, and that the pedigree of his idea comes from some really bad places, and all that associated BS. Basically, it gets really, really ugly, which is why I started making videos when the guys were doing this kind of stuff on Ancient Apocalypse Season 1. You can find numerous debunkings of me, debunking them, debunking Graham. It gets pretty Inception, but I think you get what I'm saying. But now that we've got Season 2, not only did Graham kind of tighten up his language a little bit, so it's a little bit harder for them to attack. We also have, well, they know that I'm going to come and get them if they screw up too bad, so far we haven't seen any open debunkings yet, except for the pre-bunking from a couple of boneheads that I didn't even bother addressing. But this is some actual academics here. Now, this is a small channel, tiny little reach, but these guys are very much about slamming at Graham Hancock with their PhDs and all their freaking tenured accolades next to their names, and I'm not even going to go through the whole video. I get a little bit into it, and I'll show you basically their mindset, and as soon as I start to show you that these guys are just kind of misrepresenting things, well, I'm just going to leave it at that, because it's like an hour and 20 minutes long. I don't feel like going through all of the BS in it. But anyway, let's go through this. It's going to be great fun. Hi, my name's Dan, and welcome to Debunking.
Welcome to Screens of the Stone Age, the podcast where scientists review movies about prehistoric people. My name is Josh Lindell. I'm a grad student studying Neanderthal teeth, and I'm here with...
I'm Dr. Kimberly Plomp. I am a bioarchaeologist. I study the human skeleton, health and disease, and evolution.
I'm Dr. Ross Barnett, specialist in ancient DNA and the Pleistocene extinctions.
And I'm a doctor as well. I'm Dr. Andrew Kinkella, and my specialty is on the ancient Maya of Belize.
And so there you are. There's the name of their podcast, and your three or four PhD-wielding boneheads. I mean, great individuals that are going to be debunking Graham Hancock here.
Thank you for joining us again, Dr. Kinkella. Of course, we've invited you because you are now our go-to when we're doing something for pseudo-archaeology.
I did a little looking into Dr. Kinkella, and I don't want to poison the well, but let's just say that anybody that they're going to go to as a go-to person for pseudo-archaeology, probably of the John Hoops, Flint Dibble persuasion, and they're a little bit less than honest. That seems to be kind of a common theme that we see in this stuff. It just kind of twists things, massages the facts a little bit, and have a very skewed outlook on this stuff to begin with.
We decided to review an episode of the new season of Graham Hancock's show, Ancient Apocalypse. We decided to only cover one episode, because why subject ourselves to more than that when all we need is to put Graham Hancock in the description of this podcast so that the SEO will pick it up? That's the whole reason we're doing it.
Yeah, like I said, they're pretty openly just doing this for the money, and here's a great example of that. I mean, they're just shooting it for Graham Hancock here because they want to get views. They want to get clicks. They don't want to watch it. They have no desire to talk about it. But they know that if they put enough of it in there that has Graham Hancock, they're going to get clicks. I'm not saying that they're leeches, but...
I know, it's like so huge, and that happens for me too, and it's like, it's fun, but it also bums me out, you know, because I'll do like a scintillating YouTube show on, you know, the Maya Preclassic or something, it'll get like, you know, 14 views, and then I'll put like Graham Hancock anything, and it just gets thousands.
Yeah.
And so here he betrays it. Open envy of Graham Hancock. I'm jealous that he gets more views than me on this stuff, so I'll steal some of them. But in addition to that, it's like this lack of self-awareness. I made a really good video and nobody watched it. It's like, dude, this is like the 16-year-old YouTuber take or the 45-year-old academic take. Okay. Here, from a YouTuber perspective, let me give you some YouTuber advice here. If you think it's good, but the algorithm doesn't fire up and grab onto it, guess what? I'll give you three guesses what the problem is. It's not good.
So we decided to cover the last episode of the new season, episode 6. I don't know if it has a title, but we're covering it because it focuses on the Maya, and we figured your expertise we can really dig into this episode probably the best out of any of the episodes.
Well, it's good that they chose the episode that does have the conclusions. It is the last episode of season 2, so it does kind of put the little bow on everything. But, of course, that doesn't really matter with the way they're going to portray it.
You know, just to start for the most briefest of overviews. So, Graham Hancock show, this is Ancient Apocalypse 2, you know, The Americas is what it's called. And so there's 6 episodes, of course, as you said. Each one kind of focuses on an area of the world. He does this new thing with this season that he didn't do with the last season, where he kind of talks about the next theme in the previous episode. So actually the end of episode 5 is where they kind of start talking about this. And this episode is all about Palenque. It's famous, basically a classic period Maya site. And it basically goes through... Palenque, using Palenque as kind of a device to talk more about the larger Maya world, right? And it goes through a bunch of specific parts of the site, specific areas like the Temple of the Foliated Cross and the Temple of the Sun. These are all, you know, real interesting places.
Now, this is something Graham's really good at that they seldom give him proper credit for. When they do, they're just kind of like, well, fine, I guess. But he is very good at shining the spotlight on interesting sites and the interesting aspects of those sites. And this generates interest in archaeology in general. It creates new archaeologists. It creates interest in these sites. It increases tourism single-handedly, not necessarily single-handedly, but Göbekli Tepe and Gunung Putong, both these places Graham Hancock has increased the freaking tourism to. Like, he has made these sites more popular. Nam Myidal, he has made that site more popular. By virtue of him talking about that site in his works, it has more tourists. Now, there's a lot of archaeologists that became archaeologists or became interested in this stuff, at least, because of lost civilizations and Atlantis and all that kind of stuff to begin with. I mean, you know, who is the hero of archaeologists, generally speaking? You don't see them dressing like Sir Flinders Petrie, do you? No. They dress like Indiana Jones. There's a reason for that. Because Indiana Jones didn't go digging up arrowheads out of the ground and saying, well, you know, I think it might have been... No, Indiana Jones found mysterious stuff that crossed the line from reality and fiction and blurred them, and it was the cool part of archaeology, the mysteries, the amazing stuff. So it's hilarious to me that they like, fundamentally, they get it. Like, on a psychological level, that's who they want to be. But when it comes to, like, actually addressing that kind of stuff, they're going to push all that mysterious stuff right out. But anyway, my point here is that Graham Hancock makes these sites popular and makes more archaeologists, but they're not going to give him credit for that. Instead, they're going to nitpick and complain about little things that he gets wrong. That's what's so funny about season 2, by the way. Graham is very careful with his wording and stuff, so these guys are forced to nitpick at little things that he gets wrong, that if he had letters next to his name and had put this in a peer-reviewed paper or just wrote an article about it, they might pick at him, but nowhere near in the same kind of just disdain, just mockery. But, you know, he is Graham Hancock, and they are leeches.
And again, weaves in his claims about not only the Maya, but about, of course, the super civilization that existed 10,000 years ago at the end of the last ice age that was destroyed by a comet, and there's no evidence of it anywhere at all ever, except that all cultures on Earth are related to it, right? It's the same thing that he always says, but, you know, this is just his newest package deal for it. So that's the kind of umbrella of what we're going to talk about.
Just like I said, tons of disdain. And it's the same thing he always does. He does a lot of civilization. It's just mockery and disdain instead of actually being like, well, you know, let's talk about what the evidence here is. And I disagree with Grant. It's really easy to see the difference between the guys that approach these kinds of things scientifically and the guys that approach them with the attitude of, you know, I'm just going to come in here and get some views. I'm going to get it. Well, they're not big enough to get ad revenue off of it, off of YouTube anyway. Maybe they are on their podcast. I don't know. By the way, I'm sorry that their YouTube video has the worst graphics ever. I'll try to do something else. I don't know. Put a video of me doing a Fortnite dance or something over the top of it. I don't know. But something, because that is just god-awful boring. But anyway, they're farming engagement off of this, clearly, so they don't give two shits if they actually address this properly or not. Whatever, man, Graham Hancock, he's a fucking idiot, man. He's talking about Atlantis and lots of... stupid people. I wish we didn't even have to do this. I wish I was making one of my good videos that nobody watches. That's what I'm hearing from these guys.
Yeah.
And, you know, I have to say, after watching this episode, Graham Hancock's idea is silly, but after, like, really, like, thinking about what he's saying, it has never sounded more silly to me than after hearing him describe it in this particular episode. When you just really think about what he's actually suggesting, it makes no sense at all. So I guess we'll get to that by the end of our episode here.
You know, guys, Graham's always a big stupid head, but this time he's a big stupider header than normal. Make sure to like and subscribe.
Yeah. I mean, I'd never watched any of his stuff before, but for me, it seemed like just a whole bunch of non sequiturs joined together with lots of slow mo shots and a little bit of Keanu kind of shoehorned in there looking. I mean, not embarrassed.
Keanu Reeves is in.
Now, before we get into mocking them for crying about Keanu Reeves, which they absolutely do, so we absolutely will mock them for it. This first thing worth pointing out here is this guy's like, oh, you know, I've never watched any of Graham Hancock's stuff before, but it seems to me like it's a non sequitur. Okay, you know, that's great. I've never listened to any of Led Zeppelin's songs before, but I listened to the first half of Stairway to Heaven, so I assume they're an acoustic band, right? Same with Pink Floyd. I listened to Wish You Were Here. They're an acoustic band, right? I listened to one Taylor Swift song. It was called Love Story, and so she's a country western artist, right? That's right? Is that how this works? No. It's almost like if you're going to weigh in on something in a meaningful sense, you need to do some more than just basic research, more than sitting down and watching half an episode. It would be like me trying to weigh in on flint napping without ever reading a book on the subject, just watching a YouTube video of a guy hitting a rock with another rock and saying, well, you know, I mean, seems to me... if they took Graham Hancock or us the least bit seriously at all, they wouldn't act like this, but they don't, so they're actually over here just saying, hey man, come look at us, we're doing a debunking of Ancient Apocalypse as well, we got no followers, but we could get some, hey Flint, hey Hoops, hey other guys that do this stuff, look, we're doing it too. That's all this is. That's why he's here. That dude that just said that, he's literally admitting he don't even know the first damn thing about any of this. He don't care. We're going to hang out, right, buddy? That's cool. Let's do it. Put my name on there, too.
If not embarrassed. Keanu Reeves is in this season of this show, which is really sad because really? He's been, like, untouchable for his entire career. He's been, like, one of these perfect people that has no flaws, and now he's got this mark, which hopefully he's going to address by talking to some real archaeologists in the future. It would be sad if it just goes by and nothing comes of it.
Oh, yeah, that's a big deal there. Keanu Reeves sure needs to make sure he fixes that. Well, it's a PR disaster if he's out there liking Graham Hancock, right? I mean, there's like 24 archaeologists on the planet that absolutely hate Graham Hancock, and then there's like, you know, Netflix and all the people that watched Ancient Apocalypse and loved it and all the millions of people that bought his books. But no, don't worry about all of that. We've got guys like Flint Dibble and John Hoops over here that are... So Keanu Reeves, he's got a black mark on his name now. This is absurd, man. This is so detached from reality. It's like, dude, you are aligning yourself on the opposite side of Keanu Reeves while you acknowledge the fact that he is fucking untouchable. Maybe, I could be wrong here, maybe you should be a little more tactful about this, because just saying he's wrong, it might just blow up in your face. I mean, I could be wrong, but I am also of the opinion that Keanu Reeves' online reputation is a bit on the untouchable side of things, so I would be hard-pressed to, if I was thinking strategically, to just array myself straight up against where he was standing and be like, dude, you need to fix yourself, because that would basically make me look like an asshole. But you know what? I'm also not making this video just to just like chime in and weasel some views off of you guys, as is readily apparent by the disparity in numbers. I'm here purely because y'all got letters next to your name and you're just spouting out absurd bullshit while you try to debunk Graham Hancock. It's almost like people like Flint Dibble and John Hoops have established this kind of culture of lying when you go to debunk somebody if you consider them pseudo. It's kind of fucking gross. So here I am.
I give Keanu a pass just because he's so unproblematic, but it feels like he's just been sort of sucked in because he's just too nice. He's like listening to Hancock and being like, oh, that sounds really cool. The way you would if you were kind of getting stalked by a witness or a Mormon or something, and you have certain levels of politeness, you have to let them kind of just work it out. And then you can say, okay, that's been a nice chat. I'll see you.
And this is why you need to do basic research. Like you said, he doesn't know anything about Graham Hancock's work. He hasn't watched any of his stuff before. But he's smart enough to realize that arraying yourself against Keanu Reeves is probably not the smartest thing in the world. So he tries to play the nuance card. However, he makes it sound like Graham Hancock knocked on Keanu's door and was like, hey, man, have I told you the good word of the story of Atlantis? Did your old brother Plato here tell you about any of how he can save yourself? No, but that's not what Graham did, is it? No. Here, let me show you a clip from when me and Graham talked, and you can see what Graham has to say about how him and Keanu Reeves first came into contact. He's on another elevated. I don't think there is a celebrity that the internet likes as much as Keanu Reeves.
That's true.
He's just on a different level.
And it's because Keanu is a really good man. He's a really good person.
I'm envious that you got a chance to sit down and speak with him.
It was so fortunate. I've been in touch with Keanu for 2 or 3 years. He reached out to me initially about a comic book series that he's making called Berserker, B-R-Z-R-K-R, which is also going to be a Netflix film.
Oh, wow.
But it started life as a comic book, and it's about this immortal hero who's born 80,000 years ago but can't die and lives through all kinds of situations. So Keanu wanted to reach out to me to see if I could give some advice on the historical setting. Where would somebody be born 80,000 years ago and so on and so forth, or who could do this? So we got to know each other, and we exchanged lots of emails, and we had a number of video calls.
Keanu Reeves was already a fan of Graham Hancock's work before he ever spoke to the man. I mean, you do that math, boys.
But like, also, like, you're told it's a documentary, the production value is high. Mm. Like, most people are just going to assume that there's something legit in it, right? If they don't have the background.
I have to disagree with that sentiment. I mean, Graham Hancock frequently speaks out against archaeologists, right? And that's one of the biggest reasons that archaeologists take issue with him, they say, is, oh, he talks shit about archaeology. Okay, well, if that's the case, you watch an Ancient Apocalypse, and Graham Hancock says, archaeologists disagree with me on this one, but this is my position. He just told you that mainstream science doesn't agree with his position. So you need to do your own research. You can't just trust this. It's his opinion versus scientific consensus, right? Or the orthodox academic consensus. It's hard-pressed to call archaeological consensus on a lot of things a scientific one, right? See Clovis and Folsom first. But it is true that Graham Hancock's position, that some people will just look at that and believe it out of hand, but they tend to be the ones that are extremely skeptical of science and scientists to begin with. The people that believe science and generally speaking is accurate, as soon as they hear Graham say that, they're going to be like, oh man, I need to look into this, or I need to disregard it or consider it. Big old grain of salt time. So I not only do I disagree with the sentiment, I find it kind of detached. Like, for her to say, oh, you know, the people are going to believe this stuff, right, is kind of ignoring the fact that academics have authority that Graham Hancock does not.
And he does do this pernicious thing of actually having some legit stuff in there. So like he talks to legit scientists and he talks about legit things like the Mayan numbering system, which I'm sure Andrew will correct me if I'm wrong, but that seems to be, that's fairly undramatic and uncontroversial that they have this amazing numbering system. You know, that's cool. But then, you know, just at the very last minute, there's like a bait and switch where he says, and this shows that they've been active since 5 million years ago because they have a number for 5 million. I mean, like,
yeah.
That's not what Graham said on the freaking episode of Ancient Apocalypse. Here's a clip. Sorry that I have to film these things with my phone, guys, but I'm kind of dealing with like Netflix and ad revenue and all that. So here's a way to hopefully avoid getting copyright slapped around.
When do you think the system began? How far back can we trace the origins of this incredible set of calculations?
Yeah, it's a difficult question. I've pondered that a lot. And I like to say that by the time somebody carved it in stone, that wasn't their first attempt.
Right. And what's the oldest date that you found?
There's a couple of them. There's one that goes back 33,000 years. Another leads us to a specific date that has us go back very exactly 5 million years.
5 million years into the past.
And you can do the math. I think that its intention is to make a statement about the never-ending nature of time.
Alongside these dates, one key player in the drama of the night sky.
You don't have Graham saying the civilization must be 5 million years old because they have the number that says 5 million, but that's the way they're trying to twist this up. It's kind of, not kind of, it's extremely messed up. It's very dishonest. It relies on, like Milo Rossi's video say, I watched Ancient Apocalypse, so you don't have to. It relies on the hope that your target audience has not bothered to watch the show, so you can just kind of like massage the facts a little as needed.
Really? Didn't quite understand that, like, and it sweeps by so fast. Like, what are you saying? Are you saying that they were around 5 million years ago? Because otherwise, that's a non sequitur. Like, sure,
totally.
we can count our time backwards 5 million years too, but that doesn't mean we were there 5 million years ago.
Excellent observation. I would dare say that anybody with a functioning brain would come to the same conclusion. So, that's a nice windmill you're tilting out there, buddy.
Exactly. Right. It's a televisual gish gallop, essentially. Like, yeah. As soon as he brings up these things, it's straight on to the next thing.
This is, again, with the complete lack of experience. I'll give him the benefit of the doubt there. Look, please don't click off the video, but here from a YouTuber perspective, I need to give them a clue on something, so I'm going to give you a quick example. Don't click away, but watch this. Was that exciting? Did you think that's going to be the most watched part of this video? In hindsight, now that I said something, maybe it will be. But you think this is going to be a popular part? No, that's boring as hell. Okay? We live in a TikTok generation, and Graham is not an idiot. He pays attention to these things. You can see that Ancient Apocalypse Season 2 has evolved from Season 1 in the way that it's worded and the way that it's put together. And this is no different. You can't just sit there and dead air the thing. A gish gallop is when you argue with somebody and you present points faster than they can debunk them. You can't do that in video form, you bonehead, because they can pause it and Google, which is presumably what you guys would have done if you actually gave a shit about being accurate when you were debunking Hancock's work. But instead, well, we got this sort of thing, right? Where you're just kind of like giving him the least possible benefit of the doubt, talking some smack, calling it a day. Well, I watched one video and I call it a gish gallop. This is so basic bitch shit. This is the kind of stuff I would expect. I expect from a channel of this size, but I expect the people there to have, you know, the kind of credentials I do instead of the kind of credentials these guys do. But here we are.
Yeah, and it's too bad too, because, you know, I'll even do what I rarely do, which is defend Graham Hancock in some ways and just saying that, like, he's a good host and he can carry a show. You know, he's well-spoken. He knows how to, you know, act in front of the camera. He knows how to deliver this stuff. So it almost makes me sad, actually.
You know what makes me sad, actually, is people that have freaking PhDs that don't know the difference between defending somebody or complimenting somebody. You ever heard anybody say Graham Hancock is a shit presenter? You ever heard anybody say Graham Hancock is a bad orator? No? No. You ever anybody say he's bad with words? No! So who are you defending him against, you numbnut? And you might say, well, this isn't that big of a deal. But it is a big deal because in his head, he's like, well, I defend Graham when he's in. But you don't defend Graham. You throw him a bone. You give him a basic bitch compliment when he's clearly deserving of it. Yes, he's good with words. Whoop-dee-doo. So Mussolini was good with words, too, apparently. It doesn't mean that you like anything else about the man, and it sure as hell doesn't mean that I'm defending any of his stuff to say that, does it? It just means I give him an unrelated compliment. Man, these guys are so, like, they have, like, zero self-awareness. They don't understand their own emotions, their own psyche. They don't get where they're coming from. I bet you that, literally, I bet you that they have to have their significant others inform them as to why they think what they think. And this is not hyperbole. I'm dead serious. I bet they have to have their significant others frequently inform them as to why they think what they think, because they are incapable of sussing it on their own. Despite all of this kind of blustery bullshit language, when it comes to introspection, they are philosophically null, void, dead. Some word that guys like me aren't paid to figure out. Stupid heads. They're philosophically stupid heads.
When I, like, I'll watch them do the Maya number thing. And you're right, Ross. The number thing was correct. Like, the numbers and the calendars. And I thought he did, in the show, did a great job of just, like, going through that. Mm-hmm. You know, because if that was a regular documentary, that would be totally fine. You know, like it was factually correct, but then they'll say stuff like, oh, and there's, you know, here it says 5 million years ago and here it says 33,000 years ago. And it's dishonest, because in reality, what the Maya would do, it's true, where you can find a passage somewhere where the Maya actually say, oh, this is 33,000 years ago, or this is 5 million years ago, or whatever. But what that means is, like, it's the equivalent of saying a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away, right? So if you have, you know, if you're saying a narrative and you're an ancient Maya person, you say, yeah, you know, like 5 million, you know, at the time of the gods, right? That's what they're saying. They're not saying
once upon a time.
Really, 5 million years ago, there was, like, a city.
Now, this is interesting, because I asked a few people that I know that are into Maya studies, and none of them had heard this before. And certainly there's no evidence for it. It's the kind of thing that, you know, you can assert. It's the kind of thing you could say, well, I believe that when the Maya said 5 million years ago or 30,000 years ago or whatever, they were referring to blah, blah, blah. They meant long ago in a galaxy far, far away or whatever. But that's not anything that is fleshed out or known to be a fact. This is exactly the kind of thing I talk about frequently, where archaeologists pretend their opinion is scientific fact. This is... very much an opinion. There's threadbare writings from the time, man. The data is, most of it was destroyed. So this is a little bit on the BS side of things.
And that's what's so sad, because it's just, it is like you're saying, that bait and switch thing where that's all true. And then the conclusions are just, they're so idiotic. They're just non sequiturs. And you can tell that Graham Hancock's really running on just the last of his fumes, because all he does in each of these episodes is he presents something reasonable and then goes, and that's why there was an ancient civilization 10,000 years ago. It's like, that doesn't flow from what you just said.
Mm-hmm. Yes, Graham Hancock was totally running on fumes and just stealing his ideas from basically mainstream science and then just switching off to the end into some crazy, crazy idea, crazy conclusion. And see, this is what's funny here, is it's like, basically, they're not arguing with the data, right? You see, he's saying the data's right, the data's right, the data's right, the data's right. His interpretation's wrong. Now, the interpretation side of it is where it's no longer a science, boys. We are talking interpretation. We're talking ideas. We're talking about emotions getting involved and past history getting involved and psyche getting involved. We are talking about a different ball of wax than actual science. So this is where it's really funny, because they don't, all they can do is complain that I don't agree with the way that he sees, the way that he puts all this data together. I don't see that. It's stupid. It's non sequitur. They can't address, they're not attacking the data itself, because the data itself is sound.
At the end of the episode, he said that this is the best evidence that he's, in his opinion, of the past civilization. Like, yeah. That's how he ends the episode, too. It was so weak. And then he ends it with that. And I was like, wow.
Yeah, if you just watched episode 6, it might come across that way. But remember, it is tying up the whole series. And he's talking about the DNA part of it, which is really interesting. When you look at the separation of DNA in the Americas and how it corresponds with, like, the Ice Age and the Clovis culture. And anyway, there's a lot there. The Ancient Apocalypse, it's on Netflix. You can go watch it there and see this. Now, I know that's a lot to ask for the academics that have disdain for Graham Hancock, but for those of you who actually have questions about this and that aren't going to just treat it like a bunch of bullshit, well, you might want to go check it out, because he does actually discuss his evidence in pretty good detail. But if you just watch this one episode, you're going to be... Most of this episode is archaeoastronomy. So if you watch this one episode, yeah, you're going to walk away with a lot of archaeoastronomy and go, well, I don't see how that's the best evidence, but... That would be ignoring the previous 5 episodes. And the words of Keanu Reeves, mind you.
Yeah. And, you know, there's a bunch of littler parts, too. And again, Kim, you're right. You know, the ending, you're like, that just doesn't even... I wonder if even just... We're obviously exactly not his audience, you know, because we all know, you know, all the ins and outs of this. But I wonder if even the general public watching at the end was like, that's kind of... What? You know, I wonder if they even... went along for that ride right at the end. I mean, there's one aspect where they're gonna go with anything he says, but I don't know.
Well, the people that watch the entire second season all the way through, yeah, those members of the public probably think, yeah, that's pretty interesting stuff. All of them aren't going to feel that way, and that's fine, but you watch one episode and say this isn't very compelling. Well, I talk about this a lot, man. I can easily debunk evolution by just grabbing a small, like, statement made by an evolutionist, and then I can go out there and prove that evolution's wrong, because I don't have to address any of the other body of knowledge that's attached to that, which is exactly what y'all do with Graham Hancock in a situation just like this. But you can do that because, you know, he's just an idiot, right? He's just a fucking flat earther. May as well just, he's just a stupid head. We can do it. This is why you guys really shouldn't even waste your time debunking these kinds of things, because when you come in and do these half-assed, we're just going to get clicks kind of debunks, well, you look bad. You look dishonest, and you open yourself up to this kind of shit right here. You'll notice your more experienced colleagues aren't doing it, because they know that this is exactly what the fuck I'm going to do. This lazy bullshit is going to get people drugged from now on. Either watch the stuff that you're going to fucking talk about, do your basic research, or don't fucking weigh in on it, man. Okay? Just don't. Fuck. How hard is this?
There's other little bits about the Maya stuff that are really insidious. Like, at one point he talks about the tower at Palenque, which I've been to Palenque, and that's real, right? There's like this tower structure, and he talks about how there was no roof when they found it, and that's true too. If you look at the tower of Palenque, it has this weird roof on it. It looks all Maya, and then the roof looks like some weird Spanish style roof. Like, to me, it looks all of a sudden like every California mission I've ever seen. I'm like, what? You know, even before many people even knew the roof was like kind of done later, you could just tell it doesn't fit. So the idea that maybe there was no roof and maybe it was an observatory, you're like, whatever. There's no great evidence for that, but that's not crazy to say. And then he talks about how they found a Venus glyph. And it's like, okay, you know, and the Venus is very common in Maya, like, mythology and script and stuff. It's, you hear it a lot. So the fact that they found a Venus glyph in the observatory, or, and even if it's an observatory, whatever, at the top of the tower, you're like, okay. But then he goes, and that's related to Kukulcan, which is also the god Quetzalcoatl, the plumed serpent. And it's related to lots of things. Like, you just can't go, and therefore this equals Kukulcan. You just freaking can't, right? It could be so many other things.
Except he doesn't just go, and therefore this equals Kukulcan, because he knows you just can't. Here, again, watch me point my phone at the fucking TV.
But of all the celestial bodies in the sky, why Venus? It may have something to do with one of the Maya's greatest mythological figures. The gods and goddesses of Maya cosmology.
As you can see, Graham didn't say this equates to that, did he? But that's how it was heard in this guy's head, because he has so much disdain for Graham, he either twists everything that Graham says, when it goes into his head, it comes out with the worst possible interpretation, or he's just full of shit. Now, in his case, I tend to think the first one. I think that every time he hears Graham say something, it gets twisted up and spit out in the worst way possible. But it is possible that he's full of crap. It is possible that he knows full good and well what he's doing here. At any rate, that is a dishonest statement. That is a factually incorrect statement. Graham does not equate Venus and say, therefore, it is Kolkokon. That's not how Graham does it at all. And furthermore, that glyph is kind of a big deal. That area, even as he just slipped there, it is known as the observatory at Palenque. So it's not Graham's not the first person to say that he thinks that that glyph, and that's not the only astronomical glyph there, is it? He's not the only person to say that this is an observatory, as our scientist here is well aware. But he's not going to make sure, and he's going to not clearly express that because, well, can't throw Graham a single solitary bone, right? If you're playing that game, you got to kill every single pawn. You can't give him a single bit of proper, you know, recognition, even though he was right in this case. Nope, nope, nope. He's always wrong. Graham is always wrong. Graham says water is wet. Fucking dehydrated water is a thing.
And so, but he uses that little spot to really connect everything together, because then he goes in this huge story about Quetzalcoatl, right, the plume serpent, blah, 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 blah. And he's going off of this little bit of evidence that has nothing to do, you know, with Kukulkan, most likely. So it just, there's little bits like that that, you know, that most people wouldn't even realize. But for me as a minus, I'm like, dude, right, you can't even say that. Like, I would never say that, you know? So it's so... Unfortunately, you know, it's so full of holes.
And here we are again. Is the symbol mean Venus? Well, yeah, the symbol means Venus. Is Venus equated with Kolkokon? Well, yeah, Venus is equated with Kolkokon. Well, then what's the problem? The interpretation. This symbol of Venus doesn't necessarily mean Kolkokon. Why? I'm a Mayanist, and this is my interpretation. That's all we have here. That my interpretation of the hard data is different than Graham's interpretation of the hard data. Insert mockery and fucking looking down on somebody, looking down on my nose on them, and that's it. This is the argument throughout the entire goddamn video, man. That's why I'm not doing the whole thing, because this is all they do. They just, well, you know, I don't agree with the way that Graham looks at that data. I'm going to nitpick at that a little bit. I think that's absurd. And instead of nitpicking at it a little bit, they just openly mock it like it's the craziest thing they ever heard, when it's clearly just a different interpretation of the same hard data. And that, honestly, I've said it before, but I honestly think that's why these guys get so emotionally invested, is because they write a story. They get this stuff and they flesh it all out with their own imagination. And then somebody comes in kicking at that imagination that they fleshed out. That their ego made that. So their ego is what takes that person. I think, honestly, is why we see so much of that in archaeology. But that's just speculation on my part.
Yeah. What struck me when he was talking about all these, I mean, these are clearly religious structures. They're like the Mayan churches. Yeah. If we, like, 1,000 years from now found, you know, the remains of, you know, St. Paul's Cathedral or something missing the roof, then we saw that, you know, there's a whole bunch of references to Jesus or the cross or something inside it. And then someone reads in the Bible, oh, yeah, well, Jesus, you know, he was the opposite of Lucifer, which is associated with the morning star, which is Venus. I mean, we'd be going, well, you know, hold on. I mean, this might be, you know, you're pulling in lots of ideas, but just because they're kind of tangentially related doesn't mean there's a direct linear route from one to the other.
Right.
Okay. Once you bring in kind of religious ideas, then, you know, everything's fair game, because that is such a huge umbrella that you can you can fit anything under there.
Besides the last thing he said about the religious ideas, everything else in that statement was absurd. Okay, and that's all because he doesn't know. He's the guy that said he'd only watch this one thing of Graham Hancock's. And look, the idea that Lucifer is the morning star and somebody talks about Jesus, therefore they're talking about Venus, that is a stretch compared to what we know about this, about Maya civilization and their belief in astronomy and their belief in the gods. We don't have a big-ass glyph of Venus sitting in a temple to Jesus, do we? No, we don't. But we have them all over, as already stated by these guys. It's ubiquitous in Mayan culture. It's a very popular symbol. It's a very common symbol. because Venus was very important to them. It wasn't just the morning star that we attached to Lucifer. It was a very important symbol that shows up all over the place. So, you know, you can say that it doesn't mean Quetzalcoatl every time it shows up, and that's fine. That is a place where we can argue or disagree all day long because it's interpretation, like I keep saying. But you don't get to just say, well, no, that's just how it is, ergo, this is science. Because, again, this is interpretation. So you can feel however you want. But in this guy's case, he'd feel a lot different if he spent a little time doing some research. But, he was invited onto this podcast, so he spent an hour. He popped some popcorn. He watched 45 minutes of Ancient Apocalypse, and he came in and weighed in. And he even says, who's this Graham Hancock guy? He's the guy you guys always get pissed off about, right? Okay, well, I'll watch it. Yeah, I'll get with you. Yeah, he looks pretty stupid to me, too.
It's true. And just to nerd out further on Quetzalcoatl, in the Maya area, Quetzalcoatl, again, also called Kukulcan, it's basically the same, is very post-classic in terms of when that god kind of... You'll see evidence of Quetzalcoatl earlier, but like, he really becomes a major player in the post-classic. Before that, kind of a B-team second stringer. And I always use this for my students. I'm like, which gods are A-team, which ones are B-team? You know, just to make it make sense. But Palenque is a classic Maya site that where you don't get anything in the post-classic. Palenque falls and the classic Maya collapse. So the idea that they would even be writing very much about Quetzalcoatl there in the first place doesn't even make that much sense. You see Quetzalcoatl references way more in the north, like at Chichen Itza, and there's these other sites in the northern Yucatan. Those are strongly post-classic. That's where you're going to see, you know, references to that. It's not in the Maya lowlands.
And this is where being a Mayanist might be actually hurting him, because he's not looking into all the angles. The Olmecs were into Kukulcan quite a bit more than the Mayas were in the classic period. Okay, the Olmecs were into Kukulcan. He was a big deal. Quetzalcoatl, he was a big deal to the Olmecs, apparently. So, yeah, the Maya might not have made such a big deal about him in the classic period in the south, but that is kind of like disregarding the fact that the lineage that they got it from, the culture they inherited that idea from, did put Quetzalcoatl as an A stringer. He was part of the A team. Anyway, not B.A. Baracus or Hannibal, but he's a face man. But my point here is that these guys are... this is massaging the truth. Right? This is ignoring the fact that the Quetzalcoatl was a major player 1,000 years before the Maya, right? In the Olmecs' minds, he was a big deal a long time before the Maya came along. So, disregarding the fact that he was, saying that maybe he wasn't a big deal to the Maya in the south for the classic period is kind of nitpicking a small little area of time and saying, well, Quetzalcoatl wasn't a big deal then, ergo, he wasn't a big deal in general. He's just this is God they made a bigger deal out of than they should have. It's a typical tactic by people that want to diminish the impact of the Quetzalcoatl myth when it comes to the whole South America thing, and I get that because it gets all the freaking colonizing shit tied into it, so it gets all ugly and stupid and nasty. And I understand why people get the way they do about it. However, data rules the day, buddy. Narrative, not so much. And in this case, the data is Quetzalcoatl was a big deal in that part of the world before the Maya were the Maya.
So once he starts talking about Quetzalcoatl and Kukulcan, he does something very intentionally misleading. He talks about Kukulcan, and then he says Kukulcan also is known by a lot of different names, including Quetzalcoatl. And then he says, all of these names mean plumed or feathered serpent. Well, he's only actually given us two names at that point. And Quetzalcoatl and Kukulcan are essentially the same god, so they are the same. They both mean feathered serpent, which is true.
Yeah.
But then he goes on to say, we might even imagine that Kukulcan was a traveler who used locally appropriate names wherever he went. And he lists off Viracocha from Peru, Oannes from Mesopotamia, and Osiris from Egypt. And because he said all of these names mean feathered serpent, and before that he only said two names, which are the same person, but he says this in such close succession that at the end of that I took away, okay, he's saying Viracocha and Oannes and Osiris mean plumed serpent, and Of course, that's not true at all. None of those mean Bloom Serpent, and they're not really parallel figures, nor are they at remotely the same time periods. And so I don't know if you guys caught that as well, or if that was just me, that like I thought that he was saying that these names all mean Feathered Serpent, and I had to go back and listen to it several times to figure out how I got that impression, because he doesn't actually say it, but it's...
He doesn't, but
it feels like it's very intentionally manipulative to make the viewer think that that's what he's saying.
Now, this is the clip that I'm going to end it on, because I want you guys to look at this for a minute. Here's how Graham said this, and I want you to pay close attention, please. Again, sorry, my phone pointed at the TV.
In different parts of Mexico, he was known not only as Kukulcan, but perhaps most famously as Quetzalcoatl. All of these names mean plume or feathered serpent. One might almost imagine that Kukulcan was a traveler who used a locally appropriate name wherever he went. We've met a similar figure in Peru, where he was called Viracocha. In Mesopotamia, he was known as Oannes. And in Egypt, he was Osiris. But the stories remain the same. Powerful figures who appeared after a global cataclysm and bestowed upon ancient peoples the gifts of civilization.
And now look at how this is interpreted by them as Graham saying all those names mean Feathered Serpent. But it looks to me like Graham only picked two names there. But they see it as completely dishonest and him deliberately tricking people and twisting the facts. And this is something like, if any of you guys watch stuff outside of this community, CoffeeZilla is like poking hard at Logan Paul and Mr. Beast and all them. And when he did his thing on Mr. Beast, he, like, CoffeeZilla is a YouTuber that points out people that do financially shady shit on the internet, right? So he's pointing at Mr. Beast, poking at him, and he says, this is the kind of thing where if you like Mr. Beast, you're probably not going to see a problem. If you don't like Mr. Beast, you probably are going to see a problem. And it's kind of exactly what we have here. The guys that hate Graham Hancock are seeing the worst possible scenario, the worst possible interpretation of his words. The guys that like Graham Hancock, like myself, don't see that at all. So, you know, I recognize that I do have a degree of bias here, but I also know that these guys do as well. So, you know, I leave it to you, viewer. In this case, I'll give you the old Jimmy Corsetti. Look for yourself and think, you know, tell me what you think for yourself. But anyway, I want to thank you very much for watching this far. I apologize for this being late. I know at the time of me filming, there ain't no fucking way this is going to be up on Sunday, and I apologize for that. I promise you there is a reason. There's something pretty big happening on the channel in my life and with the channel at the same time. It's all related. It's happening like right now. So like I'll be hopping on an airplane in just a few hours from now, like 10 hours or something like that. Anyway, I have lots of news to tell you guys in the near future. So thank you for understanding. And please don't think I was just sitting around smoking crack this weekend. It was weed, first of all. I'm joking. But seriously, don't think I was just sitting around doing nothing this weekend. I was working my butt off trying to get all these ducks in a row, and there will be pretty sweet news coming down the pipes. Anyway, I want to thank you all very much for watching, and don't forget to click like and subscribe. I'm going to be speaking at the Cosmic Summit this summer. Link to that down below. Also links to channel membership, Patreon, Ko-Fi, and some other stuff down there too. Even the link to the guy's video that uploaded this, so if you want to go watch that same graphic, go across the screen for an hour and 20 minutes. There it is. Have a good day.